been called to open blind eyes, to set the captive free, to lift high the name of Jesus and overcome the enemy, to let love overwhelm the fear and heal broken hearts, to restore what has been stolen and proclaim the rule of God.
Welcome to His Word Heals. You can also visit us online at www.hiswordheals.com. So, the third eclipse is over, Passover is over, the attack on Israel is over, Israel also did a small counterattack on Iran, so that's over, Israel has pulled most of its troops out of Gaza, and that war is winding down, the red heifer sacrifice seems to have all but disappeared from the news, Trump's trials keep droning on and on in the news with no convictions but continuous drama for the headlines. Biden keeps shuffling along. Netanyahu and his coalition are still in power and not in prison, as has been threatened. Lots of rumors of wars that never seem to materialize, and the ones that do don't seem to affect us in our everyday lives in the U.S. very much anyway. People are marrying and giving in marriage. Saudi Arabia and Jordan even helped shoot down Iranian missiles before they even passed into Israeli airspace. For the most part, the Middle East is still in peace and operating under the Abrahamic Accords peace agreement. The UN keeps trying to sanction Israel and its wartime leaders, but never seem to accomplish anything. So, since nothing happened on the tetrad lunar eclipses of 2014 and 2015, then nothing happened in 2017 with the first great American total solar eclipse and Revelation 12 planetary configuration, also the 2023 annular eclipse over the U.S., nothing happened, and nothing happened with Dana Coverstone's November 2023 warning that was 3 years after his original 2020 November warning. And finally, nothing life-shattering happened with this last 2024 second great American total solar eclipse, which completed the Aleph Tav over the U.S. Does all this mean that these things were all just coincidences and we are wasting our time watching for signs in the heavens and corresponding signs in the news? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. What does Scripture say? Well, Peter had this to say in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. This is now the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation." Well, things do seem to be continuing on just as they have been. After all, ever since Israel became the secular Zionist state that it is today, they have overcome many a war and conflict with their neighbors, and Yeshua hasn't returned yet. What would make now any different from, say, the Six-Day War in 1967 or the Yom Kippur War in 1973 or any of the many other conflicts that they have endured? It would be very easy to chalk off the recent world developments as just another conflict, nothing to see here, move along, wouldn't it? Matthew 24, verses 44 through 51 say, "Therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect." We are given several warnings in Scripture against allowing this to become our attitude. Continuing on in verse 45, "Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all of his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed,' and begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour that he does not know. and will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Also, with regard to the 10 virgins who were all apparently awaiting the bridegroom's coming, Matthew 25 verses 5 through 13 say, "As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" So then, regardless whether or not we perceived something of note to take place with any of these many recent signs that some are chalking off as coincident or not, we must take heed not to become scoffers, lazy servants, or sleepy bridesmaids. Let's continue reading in 2 Peter chapter 3, where we left off in verse 5 with regard to the scoffers. "For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of the water and through water by the word of Elohim, and that by means of these the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and the earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. Yahweh is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of Yahweh will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for the hastening, the coming of the day of Elohim, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Master as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with error of the lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Master and Savior, Yeshua Messiah. To him be glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." So we need to be careful not to end up so consumed by the world and worldly pursuits that we neglect to watch and keep our garments without spot or blemish. Otherwise, he may just come at a time when we least expect him, and then we would be left outside in great tribulation in order to wake us up and refine us through the fire. Paul warns in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 11, "Now concerning the times and seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of Yahweh will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, 'There is peace and security,' then suddenly destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as the others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. Those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For Elohim has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Master Yeshua Messiah, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Where else do we see this concept of our Messiah's return coming as a thief? Some of you may think you know where I'm going with this, because there is a teaching out there that says the Hebraic understanding of a thief in the night is the person who went out during the night watches to see if they could catch the temple guards sleeping. This may or may not be true. However, this simple explanation may not be the only one being conveyed here. In Revelation 16, verse 15, Yeshua himself warns, "Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed." So it's pretty important that we understand exactly what we are being warned about here, according to Scripture. The Greek word here translated as thief, both in 1 Thessalonians and in Revelation, is G2812 in the Strong's and is klepis from G2813. And I might be pronouncing that wrong, but G2813 is klepto, and I'm pretty sure I got that one right. And of course, we recognize this word even in English, meaning a stealer, literally or figuratively, a thief. You know, we have the phrase kleptomaniac in English. Now we know that this word is correctly translated in the English scriptures as thief, but what would be the equivalent Hebrew word in the Old Testament? And can we find this concept of the Messiah coming as a thief in the night in the Old Testament scriptures as well? For that, I went to the Septuagint to see what Hebrew word was translated to this Greek word there and where it might appear in the Old Testament. A form of this Greek word, kleptos, is found 14 times in the Septuagint. In Exodus 22, verse 2, the Strong's Hebrew word, H1950, is translated into the Greek word kleptos or kleptos, H2812, and this verse is instructing that it is not to be considered bloodshed if an actual thief is inadvertently killed during the act of stealing. In Deuteronomy 24:7, kidnapping is translated also as klepto, the stealing of a human being, and it is the same Greek word. So this word in both the Hebrew and the Greek is indeed the word for thief. However, Job 24:14, Jeremiah 49:9, and Obadiah 1:5 are the three verses that I find most interesting which contain this Greek word in the Septuagint, because they are all specifically referring to a thief or thieves in the night. Job 24:13 through 17 says, "They are of those that rebel against the light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof. The murderer rising with the light kills the poor and the needy, and in the night is as a thief. The eye also of the adulterer waits for twilight, saying, 'No eye shall see me,' and disguises his face. In the dark they dig through houses which they had marked for themselves in the daytime. They know not the light. For the morning is to them even as the shadow of death. If one know them, they are in the terrors of the shadow of death." So here in Job, he talks about a thief in the night, breaking into houses and murdering, etc. Then Jeremiah 49, starting in verse 7, is about judgment on Edom, which is Esau, which the Jews have historically believed were the Western nations, and specifically Rome or the Catholic Church, but now also all Western nations, which grew out of the Roman and Grecian empires. As I read verses 7 through 22, listen for the revelation language, language that you hear also in the book of Revelation. Jeremiah 49, starting in verse 7. Concerning Edom, thus says Yahweh of hosts, is wisdom no more in Teman? Has counsel perished from the prudent? Has their wisdom vanished? Flee, turn back, dwell in the depths, O inhabitants of Dedan, for I will bring the calamity of Esau upon him, the time when I punish him. If grape gatherers came to you, would they not leave gleanings? If thieves came by night, would they not destroy only enough for themselves? But I have stripped Esau bare, I have uncovered his hiding places, and he is not able to conceal himself. His children are destroyed, and his brothers, and his neighbors, and he is no more. Leave your fatherless children, I will keep them alive, and let your widows trust in me. For thus says Yahweh, if those who did not deserve to drink the cup must drink it, will you go unpunished? You should not go unpunished, but you must drink. Sound familiar? Judgment will leave Esau as orphans and widows and will be made to drink a cup of judgment. Revelation chapter 18, verses 1 through 9. After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was made bright with his glory. And he called out with a mighty voice, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place for demons, a haunt for every unclean spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean and detestable beast. For all nations have drunk the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have grown rich from the power of her luxurious living." Then I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins, and lest you share in her plagues. For her sins are heaped up high as heaven, and Elohim has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back as she herself has paid back others, and repay her double for her deeds. Mix a double portion for her in the cup she mixed. As she glorified herself and lived luxury, so give her like measure of torment and mourning, since in her heart she says, 'I sit as a queen, I am no widow, and mourning I shall never see.' For this reason her plagues will come in a single day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for mighty is Yahweh Elohim who has judged her. And the kings of the earth who committed sexual immorality and lived in luxury with her will weep and wail over her when they see the smoke of her burning." So now, continuing on in Jeremiah chapter 49 with verse 13, "For I have sworn by myself, declares Yahweh, that Bozrah shall become a horror, a taunt, a waste, and a curse, and all her cities shall be perpetual wastes." Sounds a lot like what I just read in Revelation, doesn't it? "I have heard a message from Yahweh, and an envoy has been sent among the nations. Gather yourselves together and come against her and rise up for battle. For behold, I will make you small among the nations, despised among mankind. The horror you inspire has deceived you, and the pride of your heart, you who live in the clefts of the rock, who hold the height of the hill. Though you make your nest as high as the eagles, I will bring you down from there, declares Yahweh." Remember this verse about them living in clefts of the rocks and being brought down from nests as high as eagles' nests. And I'm going to read another passage about thieves in the night, which talks about this very same judgment on obviously the same people. Continuing on, Jeremiah 49:17. "Edom shall become a horror. Everyone who passes by it will be horrified and will hiss because of all of its disasters." Again, I just read this in Revelation 18, how the kings of the earth will weep and wail over her destruction. Continuing on in verse 18 of Jeremiah 49, As when Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighboring cities were overthrown, says Yahweh, no man shall dwell there, no man shall sojourn in her. Behold, like a lion coming up from the jungle of the Jordan against the perennial pasture, I will suddenly make him run away from her, and I will appoint over her whomever I choose. For who is like me? Who will summon me? What shepherd can stand before me? Therefore hear the plan that Yahweh has made against Edom, and the purposes that he has formed against the inhabitants of Teman. Even the little ones of the flock shall be dragged away. Surely their fold shall be appalled at their fate. At the sound of their fall, the earth shall tremble. The sound of their cry shall be heard at the Red Sea. Behold, one shall mount up and fly swiftly like an eagle and spread his wings against Bozrah. And the heart of the warriors of Edom shall be in that day like the heart of a woman in her birth pains. Birth pains, too. The Jeremiah 49 passage we just read is through verse 22. Then verse 23 turns to the judgment of Damascus. As promised, remembering Jeremiah 49 verse 16 about the judgment against them that live in the clefts of the rock and as high as eagles' nests, as well as the thieves by night in verse 9, remember to listen for Revelation language here as well. We're going to read Obadiah. Chapter 1, which there's only one chapter, verses 1 through 18. The vision of Obadiah, thus says Yahweh Elohim concerning Edom. We have heard a report from Yahweh, and a messenger has been sent among the nations. Rise up, let us rise against her for battle. Sounds the same as what we just read in Jeremiah 49. Behold, I will make you small among the nations. You shall be utterly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you, you who live in the clefts of the rock, in your lofty dwelling, who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Though you soar aloft like the eagle, though your nest is set among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares Yahweh. If thieves came to you, if plunderers came by night, thieves in the night, how you have been destroyed. Would they not steal only enough for themselves? If grape gatherers came to you, would they not leave gleanings? How Esau has been pillaged, his treasures sought out. All your allies have driven you to your border. Those at peace with you have deceived you. They have prevailed against you. Those who eat your bread have set a trap beneath you. You have no understanding. Will I not on that day, declares Yahweh, destroy the wise men out of Edom and the understanding out of Mount Esau? And your mighty men shall be dismayed, O Teman, so that every man from Mount Esau will be cut off by slaughter. Because of the violence done to your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. On the day that you stood aloof, on the day that strangers carried off his wealth and foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, you were like one of them. But do not gloat over the day of your brother in the day of his misfortune. Do not rejoice over the people of Judah in the day of their ruin. Do not boast in the day of distress. Do not enter the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Do not gloat over his disaster in the day of his calamity. Do not loot his wealth in the day of his calamity. Do not stand at the crossroads to cut off his fugitives. Do not hand over his survivors in the day of distress. For the day of Yahweh is near upon all nations. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your deeds shall return on your own head. As you have drunk on my holy mountain, so all the nations shall drink continually. They shall drink and swallow, and shall be as though they had never been. But in Mount Zion there shall be those who escape, and it shall be holy, and the house of Jacob shall possess their own possessions. The house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau stubble. They shall burn them and consume them, and there shall be no survivor for the house of Esau, for Yahweh has spoken. I'm sorry we're all out of time for today, but if you visit our website, www.hiswordheals.com, and go to the blog page, you can listen to this entire message and find out who we think and why we think who we think is the end time Esau, who judgment will come upon as a thief in the night. Blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your home.
It's time to arise. No longer bound by fear, His kingdom's drawing near. This is our time to arise.